And it is time now to launch this year's edition of our presidential election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. And this year, we're inviting your help to make this series America's Best Election Coverage. Here's how it'll work. Beginning right now, you can go to our website and nominate an issue. Then in a few weeks, we'll have you vote on the issues to be discussed. Then with your help, we will produce the series around the top issues that you voted in, plus others that we select. Sound good? It's democracy about democracy, and it begins right now. And we are also teaming up this year with two political websites. I guess you'd say one more left-leaning, one more right-leaning, to add a diversity of ideas to 30 Issues discussions. So we are joined now by Amanda Mickle, director of the Off the Bus Citizen Journalism Project at the Huffington Post, and Glenn Reynolds, University of Tennessee law professor and founder of the blog Instapundit. He's also the author of the book, An Army of Davids, How Markets and Technology Empower Ordinary People to Beat Big Media, Big Government, and Other Goliaths. So Glenn and Amanda, thanks for doing this with us. Welcome to WNYC today.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
And, you know, I'll tell you for your own background and some listeners who may be relatively new here, I started 30 Issues in 30 Days during the 2004 presidential campaign because I realized how much I was succumbing to the temptation to cover the campaign more than the issues. And the campaign is very seductive. You know, look at right now. Who will the running mate be? Look at this new campaign commercial with Paris Hilton. Look how close Virginia is. Will it be the new Florida? Was McCain really in the cone of silence? All that kind of thing. When we really should be talking about immigration and taxes and NATO and all that stuff. And I wonder, Amanda, are you concerned like I am by the preponderance of horse race coverage as opposed to the issues?
Well, I think it's certainly a fun part of the race. A lot of people like to speculate on who's going to win and for what reasons. And I think we'd make a mistake to think that it's not an essential part of the coverage. It certainly is a campaign. It is a race.
Absolutely.
But clearly how the candidates distinguish themselves and ultimately what they'll bring to office is incredibly important, as well as educating the voters, which I think is the primary purpose of the coverage. So, yes, to the extent that we're not talking about the differences in big and bold ways, I think we can do a better job. At the same time, I think we'd be wrong to overlook where we are in the cycle. People are waiting to find out who the VPs are going to be, and they're looking forward to the conventions. I'd expect to see a lot more of this kind of coverage in September and October.
And you make a good point. I don't think that we or anyone else should cover the campaign by just talking about the issues to the exclusion of the race, because the race is important. But the temptation is there, and I think that the media usually falls off the cliff the other direction, Glenn. And, you know, the horse race is so tempting that then you wake up on November 4th and, oh, we forgot to have that analysis of their position on taxes or immigration or whatever it is.
No, I think that's totally right, and I think that it's very seductive because there's always something new happening. My theory is that most people's interest in politics, and that actually includes a lot of politicians, has a lot to do with gossip, and it's kind of gossip. You know, who's doing what to whom, who's saying what about whom, and you know, we're primates. We're evolutionarily hardwired to like to gossip about each other. And actually, one of the things I've tried to do on my blog is I have a lot of topics that I try to focus on, not even in terms of the candidates' positions, but just because I think they're important. So I sort of, you know, try every day to I have something about nanotechnology and something about alternative energy and various things about the war and, you know, whatever else I really try to mix in and not get sucked into the campaign. Now, the response, I guess, and maybe it's cynical, but it's probably also true, is that focusing on, quote, the issues, unquote, in terms of what the candidates say about what they're going to do is actually a game for suckers because they're politicians and that means they're lying. And there is something to that. I mean, after all, when George Bush was running in 2000, he was in favor of a humbler foreign policy and thought nation building was for losers and the like. And I don't think he was lying necessarily at that time, but it sure didn't work out that way. And, you know, maybe he was lying. Who knows?
But
it was a terrible predictor of what was going to happen next, regardless.
Yes. And he says, of course, that 9/11 changed him and changed his view on all of that. But I think that we can, and what we do in the 30 Issues in 30 Days series as part of it, is analyze the history of a candidate's votes or actions on an issue, not just their words during a campaign. Now, as governor of Texas, he didn't need to have a foreign policy. maybe with respect to the Mexico border, he did. And that probably predicted pretty well the relative liberal that he turned out to be on immigration.
That's an excellent point.
So that's one of the things that we would do is analyze people's past histories to get a sense of how they stand on the issues that we select. And we've been doing a lot of crowdsourcing or group journalism projects with our listeners in the last year. And we decided that, of course, by this point in the evolution of the web and the show, 30 Issues in 30 Days, 2008 style, should be a group journalism project, too. So I'll just read a little bit from our page at WNYC.org, where we've posted some issue nominating tips. And the first one is, give each issue you submit a clear and succinct title. Two, the goal of each segment is to debate an issue and clarify the candidate's positions. Frame an issue that lets us do both. Three, frame an issue that's frame an interesting central question. What's left to fight for in Iraq? Maybe more interesting than just Iraq, or whether we should leave or stay. And then, Amanda, people will vote starting in a few weeks on which issues that have been nominated here should actually make the cut and get discussed, because I'm sure there will be more than 30 that people put on the table. And you do these kinds of things on Huffington Post, too, I think, where readers, in your case, have a great deal of input into what actually goes on.
Mm-hmm. And I think the steps that you just listed for me are essentially guiding people through instructions to become a producer, you know, sketching out a show, identifying the central questions. And that's certainly, you know, one of the things that we do a lot of it off the bus is really think about what is this assignment? What are we asking of people so that we don't waste their time? And when they do contribute, we can make the best use, you know, of their effort.
And we're going to open the phones right now for 5 minutes to ask you on the air, what issues do you want to hear discussed, mostly with respect to McCain and Obama? Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, our on-air phone number, 212-433-9692. We're just going to do this for 5 minutes, because if you want to officially submit an issue to be voted on, we're asking you to do that at WNYC.org, and we've got the special webpage there for our 30 Issues in 30 Days nominating an issue, period. But for now, let's just kick it off by having you call up on the air. What do you think are the most important ways to compare Obama and McCain this year for you, and what's the issue you would most like to hear discussed? And I will throw out our nominating tip number four here for you, too, which is important issues that the media are ignoring are especially encouraged. So 212-433-WNYC to help kick off our 30 Issues in 30 Days. You produce nominating process, 212-433-9692. And we're already getting a lot of calls. Let's just see who's here. Stephen in Stony Brook, you're on the air. Hi, Stephen.
Yes, hi. How's it going? I guess you recognize my number now.
Yeah, what's your issue?
Why is 60% of the time of Brookhaven National Laboratories their special particle collider? It's offline because they can't pay the electric bill. The Bush administration has – I'm serious. I'm quite serious. And there's been a perpetual hiring freeze of staff scientists. So there's a declining job market in terms of PhDs in physics and chemistry and mathematics. And with the at the national labs, you also have to be an American citizen.
Stephen, thank you very much. There's certainly an issue there. I don't know if we're going to do Brookhaven National Labs not paying the electricity bill as one of our 30 issues, but there is certainly something there about math and science education in America. So thank you for that. And Rachel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to see the abortion issue reframed to discuss the reasons that cause abortion and the things that we can do to help reduce it rather than go round and round about whether or not it should be criminalized.
Thank you. Barry in Ocean. You're on WNYC. Yeah. You're not in the ocean. You're in Ocean, New Jersey, right?
Ocean Township.
Hi.
That's correct.
Yes.
Hi. I'd like to see more about the candidate's temperament too. I think the degree of how hot-headed they are, how cool, how intelligent, is way more important, because that is the basic guideline that people will follow when they're making the big decisions that need to be made about the issues that seem to, you know, the issues are all come and go, but that temperament is with us all the time.
Barry, thank you very much. Glenn, what do you think about that? You know, is temperament an issue or is it not an issue?
Well, I think it is an issue, you know, in the sense that
And again, I think the 2000 election sort of illustrates, we sort of thought we knew what we were buying in 2000, and the world wound up being a very different place than I think voters thought when they went to the polls. I think that, you know, people's stance on the issues and all that sort of thing are sort of uncertain, but whatever comes up, the president is going to be the person who deals with it. And I think questions of temperament and of character, which I guess is similar but different, are pretty important. The other thing I'd say that's important is, in a sense, presidents tend to act more alike than different because they're pretty constrained by the office. But one of the things that really marks a president is who they bring with them. And one of the things you want to look at is, you know, who they're going to fill all these jobs with, and not only the sort of high-profile cabinet jobs, but all the lower sub-cabinet jobs. And, by the way, that's why running mates matter, too, because what most people don't realize is that one of the things you get as a vice president, besides a nice office, is that you get to fill a lot of those positions, too. So that tells you a lot about sort of who's going to be actually making the small decisions that have a lot of influence and what's going on with the government.
Eric in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric. What's your issue?
Hi, Brian. I want to add on first to what Barry suggested and just sort of a little bit more about this temperament question, and maybe to drill down, I think each candidate's level of political skill is extremely important. We're interested in issues as if a president is the one that's responsible for making the laws, but in fact, president needs to wield political skill in order to influence the legislative branch. So that's just echoing what Barry said. And then
okay.
the other two, I think, really neglected issues are national infrastructure, which I think is critical, and roads, bridges, power generation, all that kind of boring back burner stuff. And also very important, and maybe related to temperament, is also their sense of the Constitution and the separation of powers, freedom of speech, the increasing influence of religion in our secular democracy.
Eric, I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time. You got a lot of good stuff on the table there, and I encourage you to go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see the 30 issues in 30 days nominated issue page and write some of that up. You can, by the way, nominate as many issues as you want, and Eric had a few really wrapped in there, and you can nominate each of them separately. You'll see the guidelines for doing so. And we're going to have to leave it there for today, but I just want to say that Amanda Mikkel from the Huffington Post's Off the Bus will be advising us off the air. Glenn Reynolds from Instapundit.com will be advising us off the air as well. And they are relatively, sort of more red-leaning and blue-leaning. And so they're going to help us make sure that we get a good array of politically diverse issues that aren't just a collection of sort of one side's agenda items. And we will take it from there. So, Amanda, we look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
And we'll see, hopefully, a lot of good Huffington Post reader input into our 30 issues in 30 days nominating process. Glenn, I saw you already put the link up when you blogged it this morning, and I think we've already gotten a few issues nominated via Instapundit, so thank you for that.
Great.
And one way to get to it is wnyc.org/30issues. Brian Lehrer at WNYC. Ron Paul, our next guest. Stay tuned.